Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Good morning. I'm Janie Wicker, and I've been here for a little while, and I love you guys, and I know we're doing a series on miracles. When Mike sent out the message about did anybody have a miracle of protection, I said I did, and he asked me to share. I think we all have miracles of protection constantly that we're never aware of, but then I think we have miracles of protection that were so real and so amazing that we stop and we just praise the Lord and we thank Him, and His glory is just magnified. If you are a first-time visitor, please fill out our Connect card here. Put it in the offering basket. The offering basket is passed at the end. And if you have a prayer request, can they also do that too? Okay, prayer request too. In the 1900s, I was a parapro at an elementary school where my children went. And I loved what I was doing, didn't have much experience in education. And my principal came to me after a period of time and said, Janie, you have to go back to college and change your major to education. And I said, Herb, I have no money. You're paying me a parapro job, and we are, like, broke. We have girls in braces and all that stuff. And he said, well, you have to do that. And then my husband came to me and said, Janie, you really love what you're doing, and I think you're pretty good at it. You need to go back to college and change your major to education. And I just kind of looked at him. And then God said, Janie, you need to go back to school and change your major to education. And so when you got the three, and you know how God loves that number three, I said, okay, but you're going to have to provide everything because we're broke. We have no extra money. Our cars are pretty used. We keep them about 12 years each. So you're going to have to work this out. And of course, that delighted him because that's what he loves to do. And I was a broken vessel. So I started commuting to the University of Georgia. I had gone in the 60s and 70s. They could not find my records. I was in the archives. It made me feel good because it was the 1900s. So I started going back to school. It took me 3.5 years to finish an undergraduate degree because I commuted daily from Grayson. And it took me 2.5 to get a master's. But on one of those journeys, I left about 6 in the morning because I usually had to be at class at 8 in the morning. And when I left the house, it was really raining bad and storming and trees were moving. And my radio on my Volkswagen Rabbit diesel didn't work, of course. And so I just started praying. And as I was going to Athens down 78 in the back roads, the car was being picked up and hydroplaning and, you know, blown into the side. But there are other cars out. So I thought, okay, I'm not crazy. It's just a bad storm. So I kept going, got to University of Georgia campus, and parking lot was kind of sparse, and got into the building outer hold, and people were coming out saying they've told us to go home, there's tornado watch, tornado warning, and you need to just leave, don't even come into the building. So I got back in the Volkswagen, came all the way back home with a lot of wind and rain and praying the whole time. And when I got back to my neighborhood, part of my neighborhood was gone. We had had a tornado or a microburst or whatever, and houses were gone, or either partially gone or destroyed, and trees were everywhere. And I know that that was protection that I knew about. And in the days ahead, some of the people in our neighborhood went to my church, and they were just praising the Lord for children that were invited to spend the night with friends that they hardly knew, or people that were out of town, or people that I'm not sure knew the Lord, but I think probably came to know the Lord because of the protection. Not a single person was hurt. And I just want to read to you from Joshua 24:7. Moses had already brought the people out of Egypt. And I think everybody in this room has been in Egypt sometime in their life, period of bondage. Moses had turned everything over to Joshua. Joshua's called all the people to Shechem and said, we need to have a little talk, because he knew it was at the end of his life. And he said to all of Israel, the people, the leaders, the Levites, everybody, he said, you've got to remember, do not forget. And this is what he said to them, Joshua 24:7. He protected us on our entire journey and among the nations through which we traveled. We're all in a journey. Sometimes my journey was led by Janie Wicker. Sometimes my journey was led by the Lord. And when I went back to school, I believe that was the beginning of my real journey of being led by the Lord. And so I encourage you, if you're walking and you're in charge, let go. Let God be in charge. Turn it over to Him and get on the journey with Him. Because He loves you dearly. He loves you so dearly. Everyone in this room, all of your families that couldn't come, all of your families that wouldn't come, that have never been to church with you, that you're hurting so bad for, just pray that hedge of protection over your families. I do that every night before midnight. And I have a long list of friends that I pray protection over. God is real. God is amazing. And He loves you very much.
Amen and good morning. Yeah, we're switching it up on you a little bit today. All right, we don't want to get anybody settled and growing roots underneath you, or at least that'll keep you from doing anything. So we're moving things around a little bit today, and hopefully that'll keep us all attentive and what's next? Well, I appreciate Janie coming up and sharing that testimony. Those are powerful testimonies, and like hers, I'm sure you have one. I don't know about hearing, though, when you say that in the 1900s. How many of you were born in the 1900s? Yeah, we all, most of us in here were. Sounds like we're so old in the 1900s, but it's true. It's true. How many of you have ever experienced a miracle of protection? Raise your hand. All right, there's a lot of us. So we have been there. We have been there. Have you ever prayed protection over yourself? Have you ever prayed protection over someone else? I bet we all have been there as well. Have you ever realized that God was protecting you during or after a serious experience that, like what Janie said, is like after I got through it, wow, I look back and say, man, the Lord's hand of protection was on us. You ever realized that before? Or maybe even during that. I have a couple experiences I'd like to share with you. One was back in the 1900s when I was in college. When I was in college, I lived in Columbus, Ohio, but I went to college in Cincinnati, Ohio. And in the wintertime, they were notorious for having, you know, storms just come up on you. Even the weather forecasters couldn't get it right all the time. But this was one Friday. I hadn't been home in a long time, and I wanted to go home. And I didn't have a car. I didn't have a car till I graduated college. But I always borrowed cars. I had friends who had cars, and they let me use their car. They were crazy, but they let me use their cars. Well, this particular weekend, I just wanted to get home. I hadn't seen my family in a long while. I stayed at college a lot. And so one of my friends loaned me their car. And so I get on the road. It's cold. It's in the winter. And I didn't look at the weather forecast. And it's about an hour and 45-minute drive between Columbus and Cincinnati. So I leave college. I get on the road that Friday afternoon after class. And I head on the interstate, I-71, going north. I get about halfway there,
And all of a sudden, things are getting really cold. It starts snowing really hard. And the road, the temperature is dropping and it's freezing. And what I see before me as I get closer to Columbus is it gets heavier and heavier and heavier. And here I am, this, you know, 20-year-old that's driving on the interstate in somebody else's car. And all I can think of is, Lord, get me to Columbus. And in front of me, I see semis. There's a lot of truckers on I-71. And all I see in front of me is that their trailers, as they're driving, are swerving back and forth on a two-lane interstate. And I said, oh, Lord, have mercy. I started praying like I've never prayed before. Lord, protect me. Lord, get me to Columbus. And let me help me find a spot to get past these truckers so that trailer doesn't hit me and knock me off the road. And I can remember that feeling even today. The kind of the fear that I had, the anxiety I had. I was so tense by the time I got home to Columbus. But the Lord saw fit to put his hand on me and get me there. I prayed protection just recently over the three most treasured and valuable relationships to me on this earth. My wife and my two sons who went to Ireland and Scotland over the last week and a half. And I just prayed for them. And I had other people praying protection over them too. When something's that important to you, you spend a lot of time praying about it, right? And getting other people to join you in praying about it because it means that much to you. And I prayed protection for them while their travel there and while they were there and on the way home. Another time that I knew, and it's similar to Janie's situation with the tornado, was a few years ago. We had a tornado hit our neighborhood just up the road and did a lot of damage in our neighborhood. My close friends that are like family, the O'Connors, had the left side of their house sheared off. It looked like a dollhouse. The house across the street from them was pushed into the street and almost flattened. There was a lot of roofs missing. The side of our house, the right side of our house, was pushed in a little bit. For 5 months, my son was out of his bedroom, had to sleep in his brother's bedroom in the bathroom. We had, you know, wood coming through the bathroom, through the shower. You know, there are things that happen. But in all of that, that everything that happened in our neighborhood, not one person was hurt. Not one animal was hurt. And the greatest miracle to me, and this is, I thank God for this every time I think about it, is that during the time the tornado hit in our neighborhood was the time that the elementary school bus was supposed to be in our neighborhood. The exact time. But some kids had left some stuff at school and they were late getting on the bus. And it was at Fort Daniel at that time, so that's not very far from our neighborhood. And so the tornado came in, and the tornado went out, and our bus then pulled in. And it was only by God's hand, and I thank him for that, because a lot of our children, John's child, my child, Garrett, when he was little, he and Aiden were little, they were on that bus. And they pulled into the neighborhood, and they saw the devastation. And I thank God for that bus driver. She stopped, she turned around, and she went back to the school. And that's where they kept our kids safe until we could get to them. That was God's hand, and I thank you for that every day that I remember that. You know, the safest place in all the world is in the will of God. And the safest protection in all the world is in the name of God. Warren Wiersbe said that, but I believe it. A.C. Dixon says, in Jesus Christ on the cross, there is refuge, there is safety, there is shelter, and all the power of sin upon our track cannot reach us when we have taken shelter under the cross that atones for our sins. When we belong to Jesus, he takes care of those that he loves. He takes care of those that he loves. But can we accept and get in his will and be okay with that? Because you see, we see the world with our eyes. God sees it with his eyes. And we don't see the same way God sees. We don't think the same way God thinks. And so we see with these eyes that are limited to see the future and what God has planned, even though it seems grim, it seems dark a little bit, it seems stormy a little bit, God is right there. He's with us every step of the way to walk with us. And you know the poem, the footprints. He's also there to carry us sometimes when we can't on our own. But we have to be in his will. We have to be trusting in him. In Acts 18, God told Paul these words in a vision. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. So Paul believed. He obviously believed the Lord. And he stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. The Lord told him, don't be afraid. I am with you. Do what I've called you to do. Have you ever got a calling from the Lord and you shrunk back? Or you started seeing with your eyes, you started thinking logically, you started thinking practically, and say, no, I can't do that. No, I can't do that. Or you started out on a journey and say, this looks a little bit more difficult. Maybe I didn't hear the Lord right. I've been there. Let me share with you some scriptures, because the word of the Lord speaks a lot about his protection, his promise of protection over those he loves. So let me just, I just want to hit you with a barrage of scripture right now. In Psalm 91, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Psalm 32, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Psalm 37, the Lord rescues the godly. He is their fortress in times of trouble. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Deuteronomy 31, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you, never forsake you. Psalm 18, you make your saving help my shield, and your right hand sustains me. Your help has made me great. You provide a broad path for my feet so that my ankles do not give way. Exodus 14, the Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. Psalm 118, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Psalm 119, you are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. Isaiah 46, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. Proverbs 30, every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Proverbs 2, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Psalm 91, 4, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. What a beautiful picture that is. And in Revelation 7, he doesn't stop. He starts at the beginning and on to the end. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to the springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Church, this is just a sample of the many promises and examples in Scripture where God is a God of protection. He is a God of refuge. He is a God to rescue. And he wants to do that for all of us who are in his will. And he also wants to use each of us as a conduit for rescuing, for refuge, to draw others to him who need it as well. Long before you face a problem, God already has a plan. Long before the rain flooded the earth, God planned for Noah to be on that boat. Long before Jonah was thrown overboard, God planned to send a large fish to his rescue. Long before the Israelites were cornered by the Egyptian army, God planned the parting of the Red Sea. Before bad news of health comes, before you lost your job, before your girlfriend broke your heart, God had a plan. God is a God who has power and to miraculously save, to miraculously rescue. Where we see no way, God makes a way. He commissioned angels. He shut the mouths of lions. He calmed the raging storm. And we look at those scriptures now, and we read over them, and they become old hat to us. They become vain repetition sometimes. Oh, I've heard that story over and over again. But maybe God has something new in there to teach you, to show you, to open up your heart to impart to you. His word is alive. His word is living. And when it lives in you, it's active, and it can apply to every single experience that you have. In the book of Acts, there's a story. There's this girl, and she's possessed with a demon, and she can predict the future. And she has these owners who are using her to make money. They're predicting the future, and they're using her to make a living. Well, this girl sees Paul and Silas, and they're going around, and they're preaching, and they're teaching everybody how they must be saved and what they must do to be saved. And this girl goes around, and she starts telling, This is a servant of the Most High God, and he's here. He's going to tell everybody how to be saved. He's going to tell them how to find God. And the owners were listening to her. And the scripture says that Paul got irritated with it because she kept following them. And so he turned around. I mean, this is just kind of a cool picture. He turned around and he cast the demon out. He just cast the demon out of her. And all of a sudden, she's sane again. And she can't predict the future anymore. And the owners get mad because this is their moneymaker. And they start yelling accusations at Paul and Silas. They took him to the magistrate. They accused them of some false accusations. And I want to pick up with Acts 16:22. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. So here we have Paul. He was stripped of his clothes, and he was beaten with wooden rods. Where is God? I mean, God told them to go on preaching. God told them to go on preaching the word. So he's stripped of his clothes. He's beaten with rods. Where's God? I wonder if he wondered that. He was a Roman citizen. So politically speaking, he was not even supposed to be beaten with a rod. Where is God? Maybe you're not stripped of your clothes, but maybe you're stripped of hope sometimes. You ever been there? Of your faith? Of your trust? Maybe you haven't been beaten with a rod, but maybe you've been beaten down with words of discouragement. Maybe of doubt. Maybe some of you have been on the other end of words of hate and racism. Where is God? Job, I think of Job in this situation where God had ordained that Satan had told him, the devil had said, you know, if you took everything away from Job, he would curse you. God took everything, allowed him to take everything, family, livestock, property, everything from Job, even some of his own health. And Job continued to praise God. He didn't blame God. Certainly, there's disappointment with God in times of our lives. Certainly, we're let down when maybe we went through something we thought God should have showed up. Maybe we weren't on God's timeline or His plan or in alignment with His will at that time. He didn't protect, so that's not fair, right? That's not fair. How can you protect them and not protect me? God, how you can do a miracle for them and not for me? That's not fair, God. And because of that, maybe you quit life for a little while. Maybe you decide to walk away from God. You know anybody like that? Maybe you stop praying. Well, if He's not going to hear my prayers of what I want, then maybe I'll stop praying. Maybe I'll show you God. I'll just go the other way for a little while. I'll show you God. In Acts 16, picking up with verse 25, listen to this. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Here they've been stripped of their clothes, they've been beaten, and now they're in prison. They're in shackles. They're in the prison. And these weren't good prisons, okay? These weren't great places to be. And it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. I don't know about you, but I don't know that I'd be doing that. I would hope that I would have the faith enough, but I may not be. And it says that the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. I mean, can you visualize that? That's like a movie. That is like a movie. It shakes, and all of a sudden, I was watching the new Tomb Raider movie the other day, and that's the kind of stuff that happens. It's like the doors flew open and the chains fell off. It's like, what? But what is a miracle? We had defined that earlier on in this series. A miracle is when God in heaven intervenes on earth, when he touches, when God's hand comes from heaven and he touches. You see, God intervened. When we say, well, why didn't God intervene before? Why didn't he intervene before they were arrested, before they were stripped, before they were beaten? Didn't God care about that? Absolutely. He has a plan. Are we on board? Paul didn't wait, though. He went on and worshiped before the miracle. He worshiped before. The writer of Hebrews tells us to offer a sacrifice of praise. This was his sacrifice of praise. No matter what he was going through, that his heart and his mind were for God and whatever God wanted. And so he walked in that and praised God. You see, it's one thing to praise God when you see his power. It's another thing to praise him when you don't see his power. Have you been there? Can you praise him when you're praying for a miracle and it hasn't come yet? Can you continue to praise him? Can you continue to honor him? Can you continue to lift up his son as Savior and Lord and goodness? It's one thing to praise him when you see his power, and we all do that, right? It's like, that was the Lord. Praise God. I'm so happy the Lord showed up. You know, I get those texts and those emails, and we say back, praise God. God is good. He was there in that time. But isn't he still there even if it hasn't happened yet? We can still praise him, and we need to praise him and honor him even when we don't see his power at that time. There's two times to worship, church. Two times to worship. When you feel like it, and when you don't. Your worship in this point is a mark of obedience. You were created to worship. You were created to worship God. For Paul, he was in the middle of prison. It was midnight, and he was praising, and he was singing, and he was thanking God, and God shows up. And God used that time with these other prisoners. There was an earthquake. The jailer wakes up. You know the story. He sees that the doors are open. He sees that the shackles are off, that they could all run. And so he draws his sword to take his own life. And Paul interrupts what he is about to do. And he says, wait, don't kill yourself. We're all still here. Because you see, the jailer was in charge. And if the jailer fails to do his duty, it was with him too. And so he was going to take his own life so he could do it his own way, I guess. But Paul assured him, no, wait. There's a reason for all of this. And that you're about to see. The jailer falls to his knees. And he says, what do I need to do to be saved? He believes, not only he, but he led his whole family to believe. And they accepted the Lord that day. Not only was Paul saved, but the jailer was saved. And his family was saved. God has a purpose. God has a plan. That which we don't see. Can we have faith in that? Can we have trust even though we're going through trials? We pray for protection, but maybe God is protecting, but he's doing it in a way that's just not in line with what you think, and we need to get on board with what he thinks. Before Paul went to prison, God already had a plan. God miraculously protected Paul's life. God often protects you in so many ways that you don't understand. Janie just mentioned that. We don't understand how many ways that God protects us. Maybe your meeting's running late. Maybe you're stuck in traffic. God may be protecting you in a way that you don't know. Maybe you didn't get accepted to that school, you seniors here, that you wanted to go to, but you got accepted to this other school. Maybe there's a reason that God was protecting you from. You don't know that. Just accept and walk in his will. We pray for what we want, but God knows what we need. Long before you face a problem, God already has a plan. Sometimes God's eternal purposes don't align with our temporary plans. And we have to seek him. And then when we still don't understand, we have to trust him. And that was not the only time that Paul was arrested. It's estimated that between 5.5 and 6 years that Paul spent in prison. When you add it all up. After his fifth missionary journey, he was in prison and tried by Nero, not crucified because Romans don't crucify Romans, but he was beheaded. Where was God? Remember we said a couple weeks ago that God is more concerned with your holiness rather than your happiness? He's more concerned about that. He's more concerned about what's growing on the inside of us, the maturity becoming like Christ, than he is our earthly bodies. And if we're sold out to Christ, if we're sold out to the Lord, then we say, you have all of me. Whatever you want to do, Lord, wherever you want me to go, Lord, whatever I need to experience for your glory, Lord. Man, it's easy to say that from here. It's easy to say that, but when you are faced with it, it is difficult. But if we place our trust in the Lord, he gives us the strength. Remember, he's our refuge. He's our strength. It may hurt. We may suffer. But that's the call, right? We have to identify with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Right? That's what we identify with in this world. Persecution, when we accept the Lord, is part of our responsibility, so to speak. It will be. It will be. Sometimes God's eternal purposes don't align with our temporary plans. Sometimes the baby doesn't make it. Sometimes the drunk driver kills the teen. Sometimes someone walks into a school and kills innocent students. Hurt? Yes. Grieve? Yes. Feel devastating? Yes. But the question is, do we continue to trust in God? That he is still God, that he's still sovereign, he's still on the throne. We worship him not for what he does, but for who he is. Say that a little bit louder. Not for what he does, but for who he is. So what do? If God can miraculously protect, he wants us to pray. He says pray on all sorts of occasions for all kinds of things. As a matter of fact, we're going to do that tonight. I just want you to let you know we have prayer time tonight. We're going to have a prayer walk tonight. So we'd love for you to join us down in the 100 building. We're going to start. And I'd love for you to join us tonight at 6 o'clock to pray about a bunch of things. Jesus taught us to pray. He says, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. He wants to protect us. He wants us to pray for our spouses, for our marriages, for our pastors, for our friends, for our children. He wants us to pray for protection from temptation. I have a cousin in Ohio, his name is Brad. And Brad's been through a lot. And He got on the road to addiction, my cousin did, and got tied up with the wrong people. He's never really held even a full-time job before. And he's in his 40s now. And my cousin Brad has been in and out of the hospital many times with MRSA and his addiction. He's been incarcerated a number of times for violating probation and selling and using and all kinds of other things. And the times that he was incarcerated, when he was in prison, he got clean. I mean, he came out and talking like a new man, acting like a new man. But it wasn't shortly after that that he'd find himself. He went to the same places where he got himself in trouble and ended up getting in trouble again. And we started praying that, Lord, you know, if prison is where he's going to be rehabilitated, if those programs, then Lord, make a way for him to get arrested. You ever prayed that for somebody? It's Lord, find him, arrest him. You know, we're praying, keep him out of jail. But we have found in the multiple times his habit was that while he was incarcerated and the programs he got to participate while he was incarcerated were programs that helped him and kept him in line. Now, those are disciplines. That's not what you always want to do. But for him, we were trying to save his life. And it seemed that being incarcerated, being in those programs for a long period of time, because you see, they would last for a little while, then his time would be up and they'd let him go. They don't take care of him anymore. And so we started praying, and right now he's on the run. Right now he's on the run. He stole his own grandmother's pickup truck while they were in Florida. They're snowbirds. And he went and sold the radio out of it and just left it someplace. They're still trying to find him. And I'm praying, Lord, let him be found. I believe that he can be redeemed. And I want him to find you. And it doesn't matter how many times this takes, Lord, he needs to be in his right mind. He needs to see health so he sees you. So sometimes we pray for that. I saw this quote that says this: I'd rather hurt in his will than live in comfort outside of it. You resonate with that? Paul never said in prison, it's not fair. He never said to the Lord, can I trust you? But he did say in prison, what should I do with my time? I've got this time. And so what did he do? He worshiped. He prayed. He evangelized. And this is what else he did. He wrote the book of Philemon. He wrote a letter to the Ephesians. He wrote a letter to the Philippians. And he wrote a letter to the Colossians while he was in prison. He capitalized on the time. He says, I can do a lot of good while I'm incarcerated for the Lord. Paul said, we rejoice in our suffering. Count it joy when you face hardship. Also, delight in the hardships. You're going to face persecution. You're going to face difficulty. You're going to be weak, but understand that in your weakness, by trusting in the Lord, you will be strong. And he will receive the glory. He says, what shall separate us from the love of God? What's the answer? Nothing. That's not loud enough. What separates us from the love of God?
Nothing.
Nothing separates us from the love of God. He works in all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Not our purpose, his purpose. Can we get on board with that? Breakups, breakdowns, loss and wins. God never promises to have the protection that we think we need, but he promises the protection that he guarantees and that he will never leave us. Long before we face a problem, God has a plan. So I ask you, what problems are you facing right now? What places where you feel that you're left open, that you don't have security, that you need protection? What are some ways God could be working them together for your good? Can you get on board with his plan? Even though you don't understand, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. Lord, I don't even know which way is up right now, but I know you're a good God. I know you're a faithful God. I know that you love me, God. And so I love you, and I want you to work all this for good in my life, for your glory, and for the purpose that you have. What are you currently praying for protection from or for? And how can we pray for each other for protection? Martin Luther said this. He said, prayer is a strong wall and fortress of the church. It is a godly Christian weapon. And it is. It is our sword. It is our weapon. And we have to wield it, not just carry it. I don't just carry my Bible around and say, yeah, I'm a good Christian. I got my word right here. Well, I got it on my phone. I got it on my app. I'm carrying the word of God. I am carrying the word of God everywhere I go. That's great, but are you using it? Are you using the power that we have in prayer? Except for, Lord, thank you for this food, and please bless it to the nourishment of my body. Prayer is much more than that. It's a weapon to hold off the enemy, for the power of the Holy Spirit to be activated. He's waiting for us to join him in this and be faithful in it, not just a few times to say, well, it's not working, so he must not be able to hear me. Let me try to say it a little louder. No, he hears you. He's waiting for you to get on board with his plan. Be faithful. Be persistent. Use the weapon that is at your disposal. It's powerful. Sometimes we forget that. We walk in everyday life and we see the temporal when God wants to see the eternal. And that comes through being in his word. The two primary things of the Christian's maturity that are involved in the maturity of growing is the word of God and prayer. And we have to be about both of those. And God will move. You'll see God move in ways you've never seen him move before. You'll be able to have the strength to accept whatever it is you go through when you are reading God's word and you are praying to the God who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. We have to get on board with that, church.